So I learned something this week. I was listening to Mario Murillo, and I learned about proclaiming Jesus, what that means. And it's, he said that the I think Luke, the one that wrote the Book of Acts, he was taking it from a Roman practice where they would go in and conquer by proclamation. They would take all the food and everything, you know, get people, you know, and then once they got down to their rock bottom, so to speak, then they would proclaim, you know, Caesar rules this city. You can either die or follow him. And Mario Murillo said, he said, the difference is, he said, now what we're doing, we're not proclaiming to the people because the people are victims. He said, we're proclaiming Jesus to the principalities and powers. It's powerful, isn't it? That we're letting them know Jesus is King.
Yeah, amen.
And so today, this message, that's my aim, is to let the enemy know that, and the Lord told me, as a minister, he said, similar to how he said to Joshua, behold, I have given the church into your hands. In other words, this sermon tonight is one sermon that's going to plunder the enemy's camp. And God is going to take back, and it's even going to affect the region, Lord. I'm not praying yet. Anyway, it's even going to affect the region like it was in the Book of Acts. So, Father, we thank you for this day, and I thank you, Holy Spirit, for teaching me, training me, Lord, as you did in the days of the, or as you did the apostles, Lord. Father, give me the word to speak, to minister to us, but also to minister to the church and to the region, Father. Lord, not on our watch. This revival will not end on our watch. I come against anything that would cause division, any demon that would cause people to try to take ownership of your move, the move of the Spirit, anything that would cause any other pitfalls that I don't know of revival that would cause it to come to an end. And I declare that the end result is going to be societal transformation. The spiritual kingdom of God will usher in the natural kingdom of God. It's kind of, this is something that I believe, Lord. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So, the first scripture is Acts 19, verses 11 to 20. I wasn't sure what to call this, so I'm going to call it Jesus is the Lord. Now, God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs and aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists took it upon themselves to call the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, we exorcise you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches. Also, there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, who did so. And the evil spirits answered, and its evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? Then the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, overpowered them, and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. This became known both to all Jews and Greeks dwelling in Ephesus, and fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. And many who had believed came confessing and telling their deeds. Also, many of those who had practiced magic brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all. And they counted up the value of them, and it totaled 50,000 pieces of silver. So the word of the Lord grew mightily and prevailed. Now I believe that holiness must be emphasized when we're talking about deliverance ministry. I believe that that you have to, you know, trusting in the Holy Spirit. And I'll give you an instance. This is something I was not able to do a while back. But I talked with a family member, and you know, who doesn't know the Lord, and it was just a casual conversation. And the Holy Spirit was in that conversation, had led that conversation, and helped me to respond in a way, I believe, that presented Jesus to them.
Amen.
And so, anyone out there that is wanting to do deliverance ministry, you can study on deliverance and stuff, but don't be so caught up on that that you don't seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, that you don't seek the Lord and ask the Holy Spirit to work in you first, so that you don't get defensive, or you don't, you know, argue back and forth with whoever it is that you're trying to witness to or talk to. You just gotta. And here's a sobering warning. Turn with me to Matthew 7, verses 13 to 29. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. That rock is Christ. I just wanted to insert that. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell. And great was its fall. And so it was when Jesus had ended these sayings that the people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. I want to say that the way that I can preach with authority is I have to fear God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Mm-hmm. And as we discussed last week, this Sunday, God gives his secrets to those who fear him. And I've noticed in my own life when I was in times of sin, there'd be times that I would be anointed to preach a certain sermon. But, you know, honestly, here's what I believe. Here's what I've learn from what others have come to teach, but what I believe from my experience also. I believe God anointed me to preach that particular thing because He loves you.
Amen.
Not to endorse me, not to endorse what the character or anything like that. He did it because He loves the ones that I or whoever is ministering to. And Acts 17, verses 22 to 34. Then Paul stood in the midst of the Areopagus and said, "Men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are very religious. For as I was passing through and considering the objects of your worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God.' Therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing, him I proclaim to you." I want to stop for a minute before we get to verse 24. I believe that the church, it's what I'm sensing from the Lord right now, the church is worshiping a God that I just sense from the Lord, a God we don't know, a God we've been taught, but we need to be retaught. And this is speaking directly to this region, that we are religious, but we need to come to know God for who He really is. Amen?
Amen.
Verse 24, "God who made the world and everything in it, since He is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is He worshipped with men's hands, as though He needed anything, since He gives to all life, breath, and all things. And He has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their preordained times and the boundaries of their dwellings, so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for Him and find Him, though He is not far from each one of us. For in Him we live and move and have our being, as also some of your own poets have said, 'For we are also His offspring.'
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, since we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, something shaped by art or man's devising." Truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because He has appointed a day in which He will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom He has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising Him from the dead." It says, "And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, while others said, 'We will hear you again on this matter.' And so Paul departed from among them. However, some men joined him and believed, among them Dionysius the Areopagite, a woman named Damaris,
mm-hmm.
and others with them." So what I felt the Lord was saying, we as the church have not necessarily this here, but just I'm more speaking to the, anyway, we, the church, God is dealing in this hour with dead and dry religion.
Mm-hmm.
Dead and dry religion. In preparation today, the Holy Spirit wanted me to listen to a video I had listened to previously about the Kundalini movement. And a lot of people in this day and age are going to things like Kundalini yoga, or, you know, ayahuasca, different things like that, because they want a spiritual experience, and we as the church are not giving it to them. We want our three songs and a sermon and go home. And we're not letting the Holy Spirit move. We're not letting the Holy Spirit heal the sick. You know, we can you know, we're too afraid, you know, I'm all for caution, but let me just say this. We're too afraid of getting someone sick in this, when in reality we should be more trusting in God and the power of God to heal that person, so that we can say, come on to church, hon, and we'll pray for you and you can be healed of that cough or the flu or whatever it is. But we're too afraid to catch the sickness when our relationship with the Spirit of God, and, you know, I'm part of this, our relationship with the Spirit of God should allow us to say, you know what, I'm going to go lay hands on that person and I'm not going to catch it. They're going to be healed by the power of the Holy Spirit, just like the Bible says.
Yeah.
And so, Jeremiah 6, verses 10 to 20.
Jeremiah.
It says, to whom shall I speak and give warning, that they may hear? Indeed, their ear is uncircumcised, and they cannot give heed. Behold, the word of the Lord is a reproach to them. They have no delight in it. The feeling I get from the Lord, he said, this is not the condition of the church now, but he said, there are the enemy is lurking around to see to it that this is basically to stop the revival. So this is like a preventative. Therefore, I am full of the fury of the Lord. I am weary of holding it in. I will trouble, it's talking, in our case, this is talking about the enemy's camp. I will pour it out on the children outside and on the assembly of young men together. For even the husband shall be taken with the wife, the aged with him who is full of days, and their houses shall be turned over to others, fields and wives together, for I will stretch out my hand against the inhabitants of the land, says the Lord. Because from the least of them, even to the greatest of them, everyone is given to covetousness. And from the prophet even to the priest, everyone deals falsely. They all have healed the hurt of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they committed abomination? No, they were not at all ashamed, nor did they know how to blush. Therefore they shall fall among those who fall. At the time that I punish them, they shall be cast down, says the Lord. And thus says the Lord, stand in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths where the good way is, and this is to us, and walk in it. Then you will find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. Also, I set watchmen over you, saying, listen to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not listen. Therefore, hear, you nations, and know, O congregation, what is among you, among them. Hear, O earth, behold, I will certainly bring calamity on this people, the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not heeded my words, nor my law, but rejected it. For what purpose to me comes frankincense from Sheba and sweet cane from a far country? Your burnt offerings are not acceptable, nor your sacrifices sweet to me. Therefore, thus says the Lord, behold, I will lay stumbling blocks before this people, and the fathers and the sons together shall fall on them. The neighbor and his friend shall perish. I want to, this next verse is in Deuteronomy 29, verses 1 to 17 to 27, but I want to, there's one that I want to highlight.
What was it, Deuteronomy what?
29, verses 1 to 27. And go on down to verse 18.
Start at 18?
Yeah. But I just gave you the whole verse. This is the key verse. It's verse 8, starting at verse 18. So that there may be among you, so that man or woman or family or tribe whose heart turns today from the Lord our God to go and serve the gods of these nations, and that there may not be among you a root of bitterness or wormwood, and so it may not happen when he hears the words of this curse, that he blesses himself in his heart, saying, I shall have peace, even though I follow the dictates of my heart, as though the drunkard could be included with the sober. The reason I include this is during a time of glory, because of a certain perception that we have about God, some of us could have a propensity to sin, to do it, like, for instance, Ananias and Sapphira, when they did, and they get instant judgment. If it's not already here, there's a time coming where God's going to invade this nation, this earth, with the glory of God.
Amen.
Oh, still going. Cool. In such a way that if we make one wrong move, judgment will come upon us. If, you know, as far as it relates to these types of,
right,
of sin and stuff like that. And Psalms 50... verses 1 to 22. And I'm gonna give you the key verse, which starts at verse 21. These things you have done and kept silent. You thought that I was altogether like you, but I will rebuke you and set them in order before your eyes. Now consider this, you who forget God, lest I tear you in pieces and there be none to deliver. Whoever offers praise glorifies me, and to him who orders his conduct right, I will show the salvation of God. Father, we thank you for this day, and I know there were aspects of it that I was attempting to deliver what I felt from you to say, but it didn't come across the way I wanted it to. But I thank you that you will make it up with your grace, Father. Father God, we seal this word with the blood of Christ, signet ring of the Lord. We thank you. Fear of God, come to this church, to the church. Come back to the church, and let it not be said that you had to bring swift judgment upon certain people to make an example, but let it be said that the gripping fear of the Lord comes upon us even now, Father. Lord, we thank you that right now, Father God, there's something I forgot to do. I want to apologize as a leader in the body of Christ, those online, to young and old, anyone who is seeking a spiritual experience, but the church has not given that to you. I want to apologize to you for that. Because the Bible says that we are to cast out demons, heal the sick, cleanse the leper, speak in tongues. You know, these signs will follow them that believe. And we have been in unbelief, or a measure of it, for so long that we have not let the Spirit of God reign the way He intended. And I want to publicly apologize. Father, we thank you. Lord, we repent also to you. I, as a leader, as a minister of the gospel, as someone who used to fall into that dry category, I repent on behalf of the whole church for the way that we have not done our due diligence, the way we have grieved your Holy Spirit, the way we have thought, well, you know, this person has the flu and it's contagious, so he just needs to stay home, when in reality, Father, we have not walked in the power of the Spirit to where we can pray for that person and believe in faith, knowing that they'll be healed. And Father, this has greatly hindered many people's faith. And you know, we say we don't go to church for a person, we go to church for Jesus. But what people don't get when they say that cliche saying is, we are the only Jesus that some people will ever see. And so, Lord, I just ask, bring a deep repentance to the leaders in the body of Christ. And Lord, I just thank you. If you need to fill stadiums, Father, fill stadiums. Bring out more Mario Murillos. More people who are willing to heal and cast out demons. And you know, I'll be so bold as to say, Lord, if people aren't going to invite Bob Larson to their churches in certain cities, and Father, I pray that you put it upon the heart of, say, a football stadium or whatever, to say, Dr. Larson, you're welcome here. Maybe not in those words, but to do a seminar there. But you do whatever you have to do, Father, to see to it that your power is made manifest in these times. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you all very much for listening to this edition of the Design for Victory podcast. If you would like to contact us, feel free to go to www.kingdomadvance.family.blog, KINGDOMADVANCE.family.blog. And down on the very bottom part of that, and I'll go to primary and then hit about us. On the very bottom part of that page, we'll have all the contact information. We have finally deleted, for those of you that followed the podcast, I finally deleted that number that doesn't work. So you don't have to worry about that anymore. But that's if you have any questions, comments, or concerns other than what you put on the video or the podcast. Also, I would invite you to subscribe and hit the notification bell, because I'll be back ministering Sunday. I may minister beforehand or at that day, just depending on if the Lord leads, but due to, you know, when we go to another church and stuff, we will not be having church next Tuesday. So, thank you all very much for listening to this, and God bless. Bye-bye.